his fourth touchdown of the day, and the Tigers may have just clinched their 8th SEC title.
This is a personal goal of mine. You know, everyone has goals of their own. It was always a dream, you know, growing up, wanting to win the Heisman. I'm sure every kid that played football, you know, that's one of their dreams, but it's hard to describe, you know, the feelings that I'm, you know, having right now.
First of all, just very proud of our team finding a way to win against a very good Missouri team. And just like to congratulate them for getting here. I knew that they were going to play our tail off. You know, they're a top five team, and we're tickled to death to get the victory.
All right, welcome into the zone. Sorry, I hit an inadvertent button there and ended our opening music a little bit faster than I expected. But it is an SEC championship for Gus Malzahn and the Auburn Tigers in his first year at the helm as the head coach. We welcome you into the zone on this cold, dreary Monday. For those of you who are sitting at home because you don't have to work today, congratulations. Those of us in the radio biz are happy to be here, though, to recap what was a great weekend both in college and professional football. Justin Akery joined by Phil Elson, who is busy. You'll be on the road. I guess, are you guys leaving today or tomorrow morning?
No, actually the Trojans are in town this week. Got Incarnate Word tomorrow, then LSU on Sunday coming into the Stevens Center. So we're in town all week, although last week's travel plans were just kind of blown out of the water.
The UALR men are playing on the road at Tulsa. They have rescheduled that game for tomorrow night. The women not going on that trip yet. They're going to still try to work that game in at some point?
I guess. I think that's probably the case. If the men are going to reschedule, I'd expect the women to as well. But yeah, last week didn't work out as planned for the UALR women, neither travel-wise nor game-wise.
So we'll talk about college football, pro football, other things relevant to sport over the weekend. If you want to give us some game balls and jock straps, 433-1037, 1-800-477-1037. You can hit us on the email at thezone@1037thebuzz.com. And the best emailed jockstrap and game ball combination will win you some tickets to a UALR home game and some Sport Clips haircut time. Matt, mark that down so I don't forget what we gave away. Barrett Salee, a Bleach Report at 10:30. But today is the day that the Heisman Trophy votes are due. I don't know after this weekend that there is much debate to be had, although I'm sure there are still some people who will go a different direction. Wally Hall is the only guy that I am close with that has a vote, and he joins us now on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. Good morning, Mr. Hall.
Good morning, Justin. I want to tell you, I feel your pain. It's a bone-chilling 55 here in New Orleans.
Ah, boy, you got it good down there. That's a great place to take a vacation.
You might actually need, like, long sleeves.
And I'm in 3-4 defense, so you can run all over me.
Yes, how about that? What a decision by Gary Pinkel and his staff. I don't know about that deal. We'll get into that in a minute. Heisman Trophy after this weekend. Any debate, you think, as far as who the winner is?
No, I think he wins in a landslide. I don't think he'll get every first-place vote. There will be some people. I came away from that press conference last week, you know, with two different feelings. One, okay, he's been pretty much exonerated. But that whole press conference seemed kind of backroom, good old boyish to me with a lot of giggling going on. And I came out of that with a bad feeling. I just felt like they handled it poorly. I think he should have had a statement. But he's going to win. I think he started off Saturday night 1-for-7, and I thought, okay, this is going to kill him. And then he must have completed like 17 of his next 19 passes.
I have to admit, I watched very, very little of that game. I didn't watch hardly, you know, maybe I just would check in and just see how bad the score was getting. That was the only reason I even tuned into that game, so I didn't see anything of what they did. I mean, it was a foregone conclusion they would win. The rest of the games were somewhat interesting, obviously, especially SEC and Big Ten. Those are the most relevant to most of us around here. Let's go to the SEC championship game first, Wally. And your thoughts on...
Can I say one final thing about the Heisman?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think what every Heisman voter, every sports fan needs to ask themselves, if you were starting a team next year and you could have a pick of anybody who's a quarterback this year, who would you really pick? I think Manziel's a better player than Jameis Winston.
Okay. But Jameis will actually be available next year and Manziel.
I don't know. I was saying that it was hypothetical.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
On this year, which player, not team, but which player had the best season?
I'll put it to you this way, and Bill Vickery, his head might explode when I say this, but I did text him yesterday, so it won't come as a surprise. In watching Colin Kaepernick yesterday, I would rather have Johnny Manziel as my quarterback. I think he's a much more accurate passer than Kaepernick is.
Yes.
I don't think he's faster. And certainly Kaepernick, with his size, poses some kinds of threats and he some different kinds of threats. And he's also got a huge arm. But as far as accuracy goes, he killed them with wide open receivers being missed, and he throws a pick at the goal line. Now, fortunately for them, they were still able to win, which was good for me because in rooting for the Saints, that still keeps them in the mix, potentially get some home field beyond the first round or so. But he is, to me, I'd much rather have Manziel as far as pure passing goes. And I'm with you. I think he's an unbelievable player. Listening to Bruce James talk about him, you know, he says the best guy I ever saw in person was Manning, and not Peyton or Eli. I'm talking about Archie. And he said Manziel's better. So yeah. That to me made me feel a lot better about the way I feel about it, which is that he's a guy that we may not see his players as good as him for a long time. But anyway, about the SEC championship, you know, the decision to play a three-man front is certainly drawing some criticism at this point from folks who understand that Missouri's front four was really the strength of the defense all year long. It's a little bit surprising. But again, no matter what they did, I think Auburn was going to find a way. The fact that they rushed for what they did is remarkable. And speaking of something you may not see again for a long time or ever, that was quite a performance.
If they can play back to that game, improve 5%, they'll beat Florida State.
Yeah.
I mean, so far, everybody said we're going to stop their run, and nobody stopped their run. Their running attack was phenomenal.
It's amazing. I mean, and you would think, I mean, again, you're going to sell out to make Nick Marshall beat you. Make Nick Marshall throw the ball against you. I've got to believe that Florida State will be close athletically enough where they're going to do something. And whether it's, you know, you put all 11 in the box, I don't know what you got to do. But you got to make Marshall beat you, don't you? I mean, you got to find somehow to do it. It's not impossible. There's got to be a way to put enough bodies in there where they'll throw the football.
Justin, were you not surprised, though? Auburn's offensive line dominated.
Yeah.
They opened big holes. And, you know, Gus inherited 10 returning starters on offense and then brought Nick Marshall in and made his offense fit Nick Marshall. But that offensive line dominated. They opened up huge holes.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. And they did it every which way. I mean, that's what's incredible. They ran between the tackles. They ran around the edge. They ran with the running back. They ran with the quarterbacks. They ran with receivers. They did everything they could do, and every which way they ran it, it worked. And obviously, Trey Mason had a ridiculous day. But, yeah, no, their offensive line is certainly not getting enough of the attention. It's mostly the coaching of Malzahn and Mason and Marshall. But, yeah, the offensive line is certainly moving the pile.
I agree.
Florida State, and I'm looking through the rankings now here, Wally, as far as rushing defense goes. In fact, you know, you could make an argument that Michigan State would be the best-suited team to take them on and make it interesting. They won't get that chance. Of course, they'll have their hands full with Stanford this bowl season. Florida State is 14th in the country after this weekend in rush defense, which is exactly the number that Missouri was at prior to that game. You know what? I'm going to go back here. I wonder what Missouri goes from 14th in the country in rush defense, and they drop to... Wasn't a good game for them the other day.
Gosh.
47th.
Wow.
They went from 14 to 47 in one night. How about that for a stat?
A little over 500 yards against will do that for you, won't it?
Yeah. There's your stat of the week. So, okay. They're going to be an underdog in this game. I guess they are an underdog. The early lines are out. What have you watched enough of Florida State to have a strong opinion of them one way or the other? I just see the highlights. I don't watch them play full games, I guess.
They seem to be pretty balanced to me.
Yeah.
They're fast. They're really, and I think that really showed up in the Auburn game. How much speed really matters. It should be a track meet. Should be a lot of excitement in that game.
It'll be one of the first times in recent memory, I think, that an SEC team that's in the national championship game actually will face a team that might have the same sort of speed that they have.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been the thing that you hear so often is the big difference between Ohio State and anybody in the SEC, maybe USC and anyone in the SEC, is speed. You know, Florida State's got that speed.
On Friday, Bill Vickery and the Pigskin got in a pretty heated debate about, you know, speed. And Bill, of course, as just, you know, per usual with SEC fans, very dismissive of the overall speed of the Big Ten, and certainly this year, it's probably a fair claim to make. And you watch, after watching the SEC championship game and then watching the Big Ten championship, it definitely bears itself out. That's not to say that Michigan State isn't very talented defensively, because I think without a doubt the Spartans are. But Florida State, where it really bears itself out, it's in the defensive line athleticism, it's in the linebacking core athleticism, and that's something I think that sets the SEC apart and has over the last several years, and that's what's been the difference. Not that there aren't good linebackers in the Big Ten, because there are. They're sending guys to the NFL every year. But there's a little different edge from a speed standpoint in the defensive linemen, you know, the way their tackles run, the way their ends run, and the way the linebackers play. I mean, everybody's skill guys are good. The receivers are all fast. Ted Ginn Jr., I mean, remember him? He returns an opening kickoff in the in the championship game a couple years ago, and then they could do nothing more. Mm-hmm. Because, again, it bears itself out in the trenches, and the athleticism on the lines usually bears itself out. I think FSU is more similar to an SEC team than any out-of-conference game, certainly, that the that Auburn has played. And probably they're as good athletically as anybody they've played all year.
It's still so difficult to get a handle on how good Florida State is. I mean, you can tell by how they blew out the other division champion in the ACC that they weren't just head and shoulders better than that conference. They were a full body better. They were a Joe Klein body better than the rest of the ACC. And you can't necessarily say that about Auburn. I mean, look how they won two games against Georgia and against Alabama, and it really could have gone either way. So you get a sense of how good Auburn is just based upon who they've played. I don't think you do about the Seminoles.
Well, this is the last year with the BCS, and again, the more we talk about it, as much as I've ridiculed it, they certainly got it right this year, and this year was a layup for the most part. This is a year where I would argue that the playoff would not make it better. I would argue that the playoff this year would make it worse, because Auburn is clearly the second best team and the second most deserving team, and Florida State is clearly the number one team and clearly the most deserving number one team to be in that championship game. I don't think semifinal games would be fair, because it would probably be Auburn against Alabama. I don't think that's going to help anybody. I don't think that's really good for business per se. I would watch it, but I don't think Auburn should be asked to beat, you know, slay the giant twice. I mean, they didn't say, "Hey, David, now you got to kill the second biggest Philistine. Get over here again."
I agree with that, but you said Florida State, Michigan State might be a great matchup, and that would be the only way you'd get to see it.
Yeah, that's true. But again, when you start to look back and get some perspective on the BCS, really they did a pretty good job. There weren't too many years, maybe one time, where you felt like there was a team that got hung out. For the most part, it really did determine, I think, the best team. I don't have too much of a complaint from, you know, the entire BCS era as far as who the national champion was. Here's something I actually have a bigger issue with that is not going to be remedied under the new system. I have such a sickening feeling about waiting a month between games, because A, as a fan, I don't want to wait. B, as an impatient person, I don't want to wait. And C, from a competitive standpoint, it's unprecedented. There is no similar situation in any other sport. It is the silliest, most nonsensical thing in all the land as far as competition goes, to take an entire month off in between games. It is so ridiculous, and they're not going to play a semifinal game, rather, until the first of the year, the following year. So 2015, January 1st, is going to be the first semifinal games.
But, Justin, it's just 12 days to the New Mexico Bowl when Washington State at 6-6 takes on Colorado State 7-6.
And I will watch it, my friend, with bated breath, and that breath will be baited with eggnog, because it'll just be a few days out from Christmas. But, Wally, you know as well as anybody in the NCAA basketball. I mean, heck, we complain about 2 weeks between the NFC and AFC championship games and the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
An entire month. This is something I hope going forward that they can fix. Because here's what I would do. I would play the first semifinal games 2 weeks after the end of the season. I'd play it like mid-December or the 21st or whatever, before Christmas. And then you come back a couple of weeks later and play the championship games. Because it gives the teams a couple of weeks to prepare for the opponent, and it also keeps the interest level, and it keeps you focused on those semifinal games and the championship.
Look, I mean, the way they do it in Division II, and I've seen this the last 2 years, and I know it's a different animal, but I mean, when the regular season's done,
but it's a playoff.
The playoff starts the next week.
Right.
I mean, you don't get that extra week unless you get a bye.
And they have to play, what, 4 or 5 weeks, though? I mean,
yeah.
It's a different deal. I understand that. But my thing is, why not wait a couple of weeks, then play a semifinal game, then a couple more weeks and play the championship game? That would make a lot more sense.
I think when they expand it, I think right now they take time off for final exams, they take time off for Christmas, and they take time off for New Year's. When they expand this and it becomes 8 or 16 teams, they're not going to respect New Year's. They'll have to start playing the day after Christmas.
Well, bottom line is I have a bigger issue with the long layoff than I do with, you know, even the BCS versus the playoffs. So I'd love to see it expanded to 8. I think 8's the right number. And this year, 8 would be really fun. But again, I think, you know, versus if you're going to go 4 or the BCS situation the way it is now, I'm fine with the way it is now, honestly. I think everybody is pretty well decided that this is the clear-cut two most deserving teams. No question that Alabama could beat Auburn in a rematch. I don't think there's any question Michigan State, the way they have improved offensively, and we saw it this weekend. People have been talking about it. Don't get caught up in the numbers. They were terrible the first half of the year, but they have gotten better offensively. And they've got a couple of real playmakers on offense. Their quarterback is solid. Got a couple of solid receivers, and their running back was really good. I was surprised by his athleticism. And then defensively, they're just filthy. So, but we're going to get a good championship game. We do have some good games. I would argue that there is no other game more compelling outside of the championship game than the Cotton Bowl. I don't think any of the other BCS games is more compelling to me than the Cotton Bowl is going to be between Missouri and Oklahoma State. What game are you most looking forward to, Wally, outside of the championship game?
Well, I think obviously Rice versus Mississippi State's really got me on edge.
Seriously.
Capital One Bowl looks pretty good. That's the Wisconsin and South Carolina. You know, you get your conference matchup, I think, that a lot of people want to see.
And Wisconsin ended up ranked 10th in the Sagarin ratings. They're only 19th in the BCS, but as far as Sagarin ratings go, they give them a lot of credit. And, of course, they played Arizona State out of conference, and I don't know who else they played out of conference. They must have had a pretty good non-conference schedule, though, because to go that high. But seriously, Wally, of the other matchups, what stands out?
I'm with you. I like the Cotton Bowl. The Fiesta Bowl might be interesting. I'd like to see how Central Florida does against Baylor.
Yeah, they're a huge underdog.
I think all the BCS games are going to be good.
Yeah, I agree.
But outside of those, you know, I'm not thrilled.
Stanford-Michigan State, if you're an old-school guy, that's a great football game.
Sure.
The Rose Bowl should be a blast. I'll tell you another one that should be interesting, and I was very impressed by the quarterback play for Duke. And certainly the athleticism, you know, the gap between them and Florida State bore itself out as the game went on. But goodness gracious, Duke is really fun to watch. I mean, I thought their quarterback was very solid. They've got some playmakers. The Duke-Texas A&M game could be pretty entertaining in the Chick-fil-A Bowl.
I agree. And the Outback may not be bad with LSU and Iowa.
Yeah, but out of the 34 bowl games that are on the schedule here, I mean, how many of them are actually worth watching? Not all of them. I mean, it's the truth. I mean, look, you could watch almost every NCAA basketball tournament game, and not every one of them is going to be worth watching.
Six of these bowls have teams that were 6-6.
Yeah, well, the difference is between that and the NCAA tournament is the NCAA tournament game, every single one matters. It doesn't matter how good the matchup is. Every game matters. Every game in the bowl game doesn't matter. It's more of a reward. And again, with the coaches leaving, and you see that situation more and more often now. You saw it with Boise this year. You may see it with somebody else.
Well, this is all about ESPN having programmed during a slow time.
My point is, it's more about getting there than it is about even playing and winning the game. You get that feeling more and more. Coaches don't even seem to care if they win the game. They would like the reward. It's great for the players. It's good for the fans. But so many times coaches go, "Yeah, I don't care about coaching the bowl game. I'm going to take this new job." If the bowl games were truly important to them, they'd stick around and coach them.
The first thing I hear coaches say when especially when it's a mediocre team that's going to a bowl game, the Pizza Bowl or the Humanitarian Bowl, they say, "Well, we get that extra month of practice to move us forward to next season." That's the one thing I think more excited about than the game.
Are you telling me that wouldn't immensely help Arkansas this year if they had somehow snuck 6 wins in?
Probably would. And that was the first thing that Coach Bielema mentioned, that they didn't get that extra month of practice, and he was disappointed about it. I get it. It makes sense. I don't understand the idea of rewarding mediocrity like this.
You have the other side of this coin, though, guys. It's like LSU's looking at, well, they got 2 seniors that started on offense, but they got 6 more that were juniors who may leave. These guys don't want that. Do you really think they care about going and playing in a bowl game now? This not national championship?
I would guess that the luster is off it to a large degree, yes.
Yeah, I there are too many bowls. There are just way too many bowls.
Yeah, but it's, I don't know. I mean, look, I went to a school where if you make a bowl game, it's a huge, you know, accomplishment. And again, for a lot of schools, that's the case. You're never going to play in a championship game. You're never going to win a conference. You're never going to go to a BCS game. So going to any bowl game is awesome. So
you went to a school where if you knew somebody who knew somebody who went to a school that was going to a bowl game, it was exciting.
Yeah, it was. That's good. Good point, Wally. Arkansas State's matchup also set. They are playing the pregame for the national championship game. That game is January 5th, the GoDaddy Bowl. Arkansas State, Ball State, a Ball State team that went 10-3 and finished as the, or 10-2 rather, finished as the runner-up to Northern Illinois in their division in the MAC. So very good season for Ball State. And for Arkansas State, it'll be a great challenge, especially if the rumors are true and Boise State is actually courting Brian Harsin. So more on that coming up later as well.
Who's courting?
Boise State.
Oh, I'm already seeing ASU fans on my Twitter feed basically saying goodbye to Coach Harsin.
Really?
I think they expect him. I'm just saying this from a fan standpoint. I think Red Wolf fans expect that that they'll be looking for a coach just because they're used to it by now.
I was going to say, if your girlfriend has broken up with your three girlfriends in a row, you know, you probably would think that way, yes. I don't know. We'll see. We're going to take a timeout. It is 10:27. Wally, appreciate the time.
All right, guys.
Enjoy New Orleans, my friend. Are you going back for the Sugar Bowl?
No.
You're not. Are you going to any postseason games?
I haven't decided yet.
Okay. I think we should go to the championship game in Pasadena.
Let's do it.
All right. I'm in. We'll be doing the show from there. You hook up the credentials. I'm in on it.
Oh.
Let's go to the Cotton Bowl. That's the one I want to see.
That'd be fun, too. All right, Wally, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
See you, buddy. I will say this. I've been to a Rose Bowl. If you have any interest in going to a championship game, I've been to a Sugar Bowl. I haven't been to the Fiesta, and I haven't been to the, what am I missing, Orange. But Pasadena is a pretty spectacular situation for a bowl game as far as the Rose Bowl stadium itself, the whole thing surrounding it, all that. I don't know what it'll be like for a championship
parade.
Game. Yeah, it's a great setting for a football game. We had bad seats, and it was spectacular.
I've been to one college bowl game, the Orange Bowl, when Oklahoma destroyed Arkansas. This is my introduction to Arkansas. I think it was 86. That was the year Bosworth was suspended.
Yeah, 87 was the game.
Yeah,
how about that?
That's the one bowl game I've been to.
Well, you gotta definitely go to the Cotton Bowl this year then. 10:28 coming up. Barrett Salia, Bleacher Report.